Thank you, folks, for leading us in music this morning. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing can come against the Lord Jesus Christ or His people if we walk in agreement with Him and submit to His authority and His love. And I pray that today we be of that mindset, that we be submitting to the authority of God's love and God's grace. This morning I want to talk to you about the new year. When the new year comes, oftentimes we want to turn over a new leaf, and maybe we make New Year's resolutions. And as soon as I say that, some of you scoff and say, "Well, I don't do New Year's resolutions." Well, let me tell you this: you might not do New Year's resolutions, but you do need to deal with change in your life, because the Bible talks about change. The Bible talks about renewing our heart. The Bible talks about assessing who we are, considering where we are today and where God wants us to be tomorrow. So you may not like the idea of resolutions, but there needs to be change that comes into life. There needs to be renewing that comes into our life. I was reading an article the other day that talked about why when we make resolutions, they fail. And there were four things that were given. The first one says that we overestimate our willpower. A friend shared with me that he'd made the New Year's resolution that he was going to read the Bible every day and he was going to work out 5 days a week. He said, "Tony, so what's going to happen is that I'm going to be really spiritual and really skinny." And I said, "Well, we'll see how that works out. I hope that works out just like you've planned." But oftentimes, the reason we have failures when we make resolutions or desires to change is we overestimate our willpower. Or secondly, we go it alone. We don't have anyone with us to help us, encourage us along the way. Or maybe most importantly, we fail in our resolutions for change because we leave God out of the formula. And then lastly, you know, the resolutions are nice and shiny January 1st, but by the time we get to February 1st, they've kind of tarnished. And those clothes are on that treadmill instead of us on the treadmill. And one of the reasons that we fail in our New Year's resolutions is because we wallow in guilt. Listen, every desire that you have to change, every desire that you have that want to have improvement in your life, there's going to be successes and there's also going to be failures. But if we wallow in the guilt, then we sabotage the resolutions as a whole. And the passage that we're looking at is a man who was dealing with desire for change in his life, trying to move forward. And matter of fact, when you read Philippians chapter 3, you see it's really a pretty intense passage as the Apostle Paul is building up and building up and building up. He speaks in the language of a hunter who is out pursuing his prey. Any of you that hunt know that when you're out hunting, you're pursuing, you're focused on that prey. He uses the language of a hunter who's got a task ahead of him. He uses the language of an athlete who is running, and particularly the runner who is running a race, and they can see the ribbon stretched across in front of them, and that's the goal that they're trying to get to. And as Paul's writing, we can see the in his words, we can sense the strain in his muscles, the tingling in the nerves, the tension that is going on in his body as he's trying to move toward what God would have. He says, "I don't want to miss a thing. Everything God has for me, I want. I want to experience it." He had a single-minded zeal. That's why he said in that passage, "But one thing I do." He says, "But one thing I do," but he references two things. But it's really one thing. The two are connected. "I'm forgetting what's behind and I'm pressing on what's ahead. I'm looking for the future." And Paul had that zeal. Just as Paul had the zeal before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he had a zeal to destroy the Christian church, persecute all the believers, destroy the witness of the church. He was determined in his Judaism to destroy the church. That was a zeal that was driving him. And then after he had the conversion experience on the road to Damascus, that zeal changed completely. And that which he sought to destroy with all of his energies, God was using him to build up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a singular focus. Paul said, I need change in my life. As a matter of fact, in verses 12 to 14, you see three times he mentions that he had not attained it, not arrived, had not grabbed hold of it. He admits he has a proper self-evaluation that I'm not where I need to be, but I'm pressing onward. Now, folks, it's sometimes difficult for us to admit to ourselves that we're not where we need to be. But we have a good example before us right here. We have the Apostle Paul in verses 12 to 14, three times admitting that I have not attained, I am not where I need to be. I'm using all of the energy that God has given me, and I've got all my energy focused on being what God wants me to be by His Holy Spirit working in me and leading me and driving me in that direction. And for you and I, we need to realize that the Apostle Paul is saying that he's not arrived, but he's still in the race. And for you and me, we need to realize we've not arrived at all that God has for us, but we're still in the race as believers. You've not apprehended everything that God has. And if you think you have, then there, right there, there's a need change. You need to recognize that God has a definite plan and purpose for your life in 2020. Paul knew that God had specific plans and purposes for his life, and he wanted to grab hold of all that God had. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that Paul wrote this, says that we're not to be conformed, but be transformed by his will for greater things. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, letting ourselves have a true evaluation of who we are and where we ought to be. In verse 13, he tells us that, listen, you need to forget the past, or maybe we might want to word it this way, you need to learn from the past. Paul wasn't saying everything that up to this point when he's writing this letter to the Philippians, he's in prison. He's not saying that I'm forgetting everything that's happened in the past, because Paul didn't forget about the mercies of God that had been extended to him. Absolutely not. Paul did not forget about the lessons that he had learned, some good lessons and some difficult lessons. He wasn't forgetting what God had taught him through those lessons. What he's saying is, listen, don't let dwelling on the past hinder our progress toward the future. And folks, we've all got a past. We've all made mistakes. We've all had failures. I don't need you to raise your hand saying I haven't, because all of us have. We've all failed. We have had spiritual failures where we have committed ourselves to God and made a new resolve to walk with Him faithfully, and then before you know it, God is still where we left Him and we've wandered off. Maybe we've had relationships that have ruptured, that didn't end up the way we thought they should be. Maybe we've had financial struggles that we didn't think we would be facing. But the commonality of all of us is that we all have a past, and we all have things in the past that God wants us to learn from, and hopefully lessons that He's taught us. And hopefully in the midst of the lessons that He's taught us, we have also learned of His great mercy and His great grace. Also in the past, not only have you had failures, but you've had successes. Paul had successes in his past, and he says, you know what, I forget that, because if I focus on those successes, it's going to hinder me in my full progress. He says, I'm not going to gloat about things that have been accomplished in my life. He says in chapter 3, he said, if anybody could boast in the flesh, you read up earlier in the verses, there in verse 6 and following, Paul says, if anybody could boast in the flesh, it'd be me. He said, I had all the credentials. I had the resume of resumes. I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. I was the learned scholar of the day. I excelled more than any of my contemporaries. So if anybody could boast in the flesh, Paul said, it would me. But he says, I will not boast in the flesh. Matter of fact, he tells us elsewhere, he says, I boast only what? In the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, it is all I will boast in. So we've had in our past successes. So we need to recognize those, learn from those, be thankful for those. We don't need to be resting on our laurels. We don't need to be living in the good old days, because really, folks, maybe the good old days weren't as good as we really thought they were. If things could only be like they were 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago, listen, God didn't call you to live 40 years back in time. God called you to live today, this Sunday, for His glory and His honor, and to live tomorrow and the days ahead, looking toward the goal and the prize that He has set before you in Christ Jesus. The good old days, as we may call them, are gone. The great days are here, and the greater days are ahead of us. Paul says also, not only do we forget our past, and the successes and the failures, but we remember the mercies of God and the lessons we've learned. But he also says that we, in verse 14, we plan for the future. We press on toward the goal. The goal is stretched out there. The marker is stretched out for the runner, and he is running as intent, focused as he can, so that he might break that ribbon and win the prize. What's the prize? Well, there's much debate about what it was. It may be the prize that Paul was pursuing was the crown of glory or the crown of life. Or maybe he was pursuing that phrase from the Lord that says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Or maybe he was pursuing the eternal presence of Christ Jesus forever, that heavenly home that is his. He's pursuing that. I think most clearly, though, he is pursuing that prize of the example of Christ Jesus. What Christ did, he wanted to mimic in his life. He wanted to be Christ-like in all that he could be. And he also recognized that there was that heavenward call that had been, Christ has grabbed hold of me, and as he's grabbed hold of me, I want to take hold of all that he has. And there's that heavenward call in Christ Jesus. We plan for the future. Recognize there's goals. And if you're not a goal setter, it's a good thing to do regardless of your age. Set goals. Write them down. Put them in front of you. Something I taught my children when they were very young is write your goals down. Put them in front of you. And I can remember my son always had a piece of paper in his room with his goals on them. And he would keep going back to those. I do the same in my life. I write down my goals. And at the end of the year, I'll evaluate how I did. Some I didn't even touch. Some I did very well. Some I accomplished maybe halfway through it. But it gave me a track to run on. All of those goals, I was asking the Lord Jesus to give me strength to obtain those for the well-being of my health, the well-being of my family, the well-being of the church, most importantly, for the glory and honor of my Lord and Savior. Lord, help me achieve these goals for your glory and your honor. We're lived today also, not just the past, and not just thinking about the future, but we're to live today to the fullest. You know, there's a reflective thought that says, accept things you cannot change. Change things you can, and pray for wisdom to know the difference. Another reflective thought says, accept what is, let go of what was, and have faith in what will be. Ladies and gentlemen, as I quoted Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't be conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Listen, God has a specific purpose and plan for your life in 2020. And He wants you to see clearly what He has for you. He wants you to wipe off the lens, as it were. He wants your eyes to be focused. He wants your heart to be focused on what He's doing and wants to do in your life. You need to be listening. It's a difficult thing for a lot of us, difficult for me for sometimes, just to be quiet and listen. Focus on what God's saying. See what He has for us. We need to function even when we don't feel like it. We need to bloom where we've been planted. We can't shut down. We can't give depression a foothold in our lives. We celebrate the passing of a year, 2019, and we're now in another year. You say, well, it's just the turning of the page of a calendar. It is the turning of a page of a calendar, but every day that God gives us is precious. And in our minds, we are tuned toward the celebration of a new year and the closing of an old year. I think it's wise that when we end a year, that in our personal lives we review that year. Let's review and count the blessings and praise God for what He accomplished in our lives. Sit back and review the prayers that you prayed that God answered. And thank Him for those answered prayers. And say, God, I've got several other prayers I've prayed. I haven't heard from you, but Lord, I'm going to continue to pray. But thank you, prayers you've already answered. And thank you for those blessings. We need to remember that and be thankful for those that we've had the opportunity to share the gospel with, because the Bible tells us the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and one who is wise saves souls. In other words, you're being about the work of sharing the gospel message. Review the past year and consider the times that you needed help. And God sent somebody along the way to help you and to bless you and to pray for you. God sent someone along the way to encourage you. Maybe they're at a dark, deep, difficult time. All of a sudden the phone rang, and guess what? It's somebody wanting to know how I'm doing. Or if they can come by and pray for you, or if they just wanted to say hello. Folks, I believe those things just happen. I believe God's all in that activity. He's reaching out to us in those times when we're hurting, and He uses other people. Matter of fact, Paul says to the Ephesians, I want you to know that the difficulties that I've gone through as the Apostle Paul, I've gone through that I might encourage you. And he says, now that I said that, I want you to know the difficulties that you've gone through as individual believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've gone through those so that you might encourage other people. God has a way of making us sympathetic and more empathetic toward other people. Let's look at the year and do a spiritual inventory with a critical eye. Let's say, you know, you really missed the mark here. And none of us like that. I'd be the first to admit, I don't like being the critical eye in my own life. But it needs to take place. Because I need to recognize I'm not the man of God I ought to be. You say, well, preacher, why would you admit that? Well, I admit that because I have a good model for me. The Apostle Paul just admitted it three times in the verses we just read. He said, I know I'm not the man of God I ought to be. And if Paul could admit that, why can't I? Why can't you? I need to be growing. I need to be learning. I need to be more refined. Just spiritual inventory. The critical eye. Consider the year in review and time you spend in prayer, or maybe the lack of time you spend in prayer, the time you spend in the Word of God. This is a new year, so every year I'll read through the Bible along with my regular study time. So I've taken my Bible and I've divided the pages up, and I have two sections in the Old Testament and two sections in the New Testament I read every day, and then I read Psalms and Proverbs every day, and I divide that up by the number of pages so that I work through the Bible. I work through the Psalms every month. I work through the Proverbs every month. But I'm able to work through the Bible just in my reading where I feed my soul. I'm not looking for a sermon. I'm saying, God, speak to me. Speak to my soul. Feed me. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you missed the mark on that. Maybe you say, you know what? I could have shown more love, concern than I did to other brothers and sisters or my neighbors who had needs. You know, Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 13, he says, let no debt go unpaid. Listen to me. It says, let no debt go unpaid. In other words, pay your bills. Let no debt go unpaid except the continuing debt to love one another. Paul says, you and I are forever going to be in a continuing debt of loving one another. How'd you do in that in 2019? Not only loving one another, but expressing that love. Because we are to live in a continuing debt of loving one another. MasterCard, he said, pay it off. Your car note, pay it. House note, pay it. Pay your bills, because you're supposed to pay your bills. A good steward pays their bills. But there's one debt you will never be able to pay off. It is the continuing debt to love one another. Wow, that's a pretty big charge. How'd you do in that 2019? If you didn't do as good as you should, maybe we can excel in that, and we all have room for improvement in loving one another. But not just loving one another. The Bible says love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is anyone in need. So it expands beyond just the household of God to anyone in need. People that you can help. Let's look forward to the new year. Let's begin the new year with what we've already started here at church today, with praise and prayer and thanksgiving. Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things. Approach the new year, 2020, with a clear vision, the personal determination to make it far greater than last year for God and His work. And now, when I say work toward it, we can't do any of that without the empowering and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. I'm not going to, by grit, determination, by pulling on my boots, going to say, you're going to accomplish these things, because if I try to do it in and of myself, I'm going to fail. Paul knew that when he's writing this. It's the Holy Spirit walking in step with him that will help him accomplish and arrive at his goal and win the prize. Approach the new year with that personal determination to make it a better year than last year. Look forward through the eyes of the faith to the new year. Look at your church and decide what you as an individual can do to make it better. Many years ago, I pastored, and he made this public, so it's not secret, and this man's gone on to the B-Lord. Pastored him many years ago, and he used to always tell us at the church that he had the gift of criticism. And he was very open about that. He shared that. He said, I have the gift of criticism. He said, and I would tell him, I said, well, brother, I don't find that in Scripture. He says, well, you may not find it, but that's my gift. And he practiced that gift. I want you to know he practiced that gift very, very well. And in the process, he hurt a lot of people. And he also divided his own family. He said, I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and God's given me the gift of criticism. And I remember when we buried that dear man, he was a dear man, and he loved the Lord. He just had a different way of looking at some things. And he said, if nobody else will be the critical eye, I will be. And I said, brother, I want you to find something good to say. And he says, I don't have the gift of saying something good. I have the gift of criticism. And his wife and his children lived in that home with that spirit. We as a church live with that. It was not helpful. It was not encouraging. But he was determined that was the gift that he got. I told him, brother, I don't find that in Scripture that could be a gift from God himself. He said, well, it falls under the gift of help. So I said, I don't know that that's a gift of help. Because if I spend my days criticizing my wife, it doesn't help her, and it surely doesn't help me. If you spend your days criticizing the people of God and the church of God, all you're doing is hindering God's purposes, God's plans, and you're also heaping upon yourself discipline that God may pour out, the book of Hebrews says, on those believers who are disobedient. There's always a place for that word of correction and that critical eye that we need to hear and see. But don't be the one who says, that's my gift. Be that one who says, listen, I wanted to be determined the new year I want to decide what I can do as an individual to make a church better. And I just mentioned to you, we're going to begin doing things with our deacons and with our staff and with you as a church. We're asking you to be involved in all of it. We'll communicate it with you because we want to do things better than we have in the past. But as we try to learn and grow through things, there are going to be growing pains. It's okay. Because we want to be doing it for the glory of God. And if we do something that doesn't bring glory to God, it doesn't work, you know, scrap it and say, God, let's start something else here. We want to be doing things that make a difference for the kingdom of God. Some of you say, well, you know, the preacher's going to bring in. Listen, I'm not an agent for change. I don't believe in change for change purposes. Just to change something just because it needs to be changed, or you change things just to change things. If you change something, you've got to have a purpose for it. And I don't know what needs to be changed. I'm learning. So I'm new, and I'm going to learn from y'all. Maybe nothing needs to be changed. Maybe many things need to be changed. But I'll tell you what, all of us need to be changed, starting with the pastor standing behind the pulpit. Just as the Apostle Paul says, he needed to be changed. Determined in the new year, you will face problems and difficulties with the determination to conquer them through Christ, and the determination for grace to flood you in those times of difficulty. Take what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're going to have problems here. Write it down. Brother Tony said we're going to have problems this year. It's going to happen. It's not new with me. It came forth from the Word of God. Man born of woman is going to have trouble. But you be determined when those troubles come to face them head on and conquer them through Christ Jesus in His grace that He provides for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And determine with God's help that you will live a more holy life and be more exemplary in your Christian life. Paul, the writer in Hebrews says, listen, every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Live a holy life. Forgetting what is behind. Is that easy? No. We sang the song this morning, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And I look back at my wife when we started that song, because whenever we sing that song, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And it talks about that little child, and refers to he. We always change it to she because we buried one of our children. And that song has been meaningful to me since the day we buried our child. We sang that at her funeral because I learned that, you know what, I can face tomorrow. Some of you faced some difficult yesterdays. Don't let those yesterdays define your today or tomorrow. You learn from them. As painful as they may be, you learn from them. And you grow through them. And then you finally get to the point where you can say, thank God for it. Wasn't easy. Forgetting what is behind, pressing on to what is ahead. The things that God has none of us, the Christian life is not to be static. It's a life of movement, and it's a life of forward movement. You're all going to get out in a minute, and you're going to get in your vehicles, and you're going to sit behind the driver's seat, the passenger seat, and you're going to be looking out a windshield. And that windshield is big, and it gives you a view of everything in front of you as you're driving. But right up here on that windshield, there's going to be a little mirror called the rearview mirror. And that rearview mirror is very, very, very small. That rearview mirror shows you things that are behind you. But the windshield is so much bigger, it shows you things in front of you. Folks, I'm going to tell you. It's not what behind, things that are behind you are not important. It's the things that are in front of you that are important. So what you need to do is you need to clean your windshield and you need to step on the gas. Move forward. look out the windshield of your life and see what God has for you, the beautiful things that He's planned for you. Look forward. Clean the windshield. Step on the gas. Move forward. And every once in a while, you may see something in the back and you remember that lesson. You remember what God showed you. You remember His grace and mercy. But I'm not going to let those things in the back hold me down, hold me back from moving forward. I dare say none of you will get in your car and try to drive home via the rearview mirror. You'll drive home looking out that windshield, not looking in that rearview mirror. And that's what we need to do in our lives, realize it's what is the force that is most important, not what's behind us. Let's pray together. Father God, opportunities abound for us every day, and we thank You for it. And Father, this morning there may be somebody here that needs to make a decision about the present and the future because their past has been a little bumpy. And there's been some difficulties. Maybe their past hasn't involved You, Lord, and they don't know You as Lord and Savior. They need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know You, we pray Your Holy Spirit do Your work. And speak to their heart and bring them to the place of saving grace. Father, this room is full of people here that need to deal with change in their lives, beginning with the preacher. And Father, maybe some need to come to the altar as a point of commitment to bow their knee at the altar, the place of worship here this morning, and say, God, I want to have a new year that is prosperous, that is blessing, that Your blessings flow out upon me, and that as You bless me, and God, as You provide for me, and as You provide for my family, God, I pass those blessings on to other people. That what I receive from You, I share with others. Father, forgive me for letting the past hold me back from moving forward in the future. God, it hurts what I've been through. But ahead of me is much grace, much mercy, much love. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to pursue. Father, I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that needs to clean their windshield and step on the gas, move forward for progress, and in their life that they do so. And really, Lord, when I say that prayer, it includes all of us. We need our windshield, step on the gas, press on toward the goal, the prize, the high calling of Christ Jesus. Father, You speak to the hearts of those who are here. And if someone needs to respond, God, You lead them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? Let's sing together. If God has spoken to you and you need to come to the altar to pray or to pray with me, pray for me or pray with me, you come forward. If you need to find out how to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come and we'll share with you now or afterwards. You respond as the Spirit is prompting to you.